Penguin Random House Audio presents How to ADHD, an insider's guide to working with your brain, not against it. This is the author, Jessica McCabe. Introduction. You don't write because you want to say something. You write because you've got something to say. F. Scott Fitzgerald. Hello, brains. You found my book. A book? How did that happen? Well, first, I had to write one. So why did I, someone with ADHD, do such a long and forever taking thing? Because I lose and forget things, and what I have learned over the last 7 years is too important to do that with. As I'll explain in Chapter 1, my intention in starting the YouTube channel How to ADHD was to put everything I learned about ADHD in one place so that I could actually find it again when I needed it. Well, it's years later. Over the course of building the channel, I've developed a deep and detailed understanding of the invisible obstacles those with ADHD tend to run into, as well as our options for dealing with them. The almost weekly videos in which I've shared what I learned every step along my journey have helped me and millions of others learn to work with our brains, not against them. In fact, my team and I have made so many videos that even I'm a little overwhelmed by the amount of information we've put together. Sometimes I wish I could just flip to a table of contents or control F my channel or my brain. Until that is possible, I'm putting the most important information I learned, what's been the most helpful for me and for my community, in a book. More importantly, though, I wanted to write a book that would give people the experience they'd have if they saw my TEDx talk, binge-watched my videos, hung out in the comments section, and went to coffee with me. I wanted to give others, if I could, what I had found on my own journey, a deep understanding of how our brains work, a sense of solidarity, and a toolbox full of strategies tailored to the specific challenges we face in achieving what it is we set out to achieve. I wanted to make our invisible obstacles visible for as many people as possible, so we stop blaming ourselves for tripping over them and understand how to navigate them. And I wanted to do it all in one book. It was an ambitious project, and I wasn't sure how to make it happen. I was pretty sure it wasn't even possible many, many times while creating it. But I used the book I was writing to push me over the finish line, tapping into the tools, reading the ending anecdotes for each chapter when I felt discouraged, and, well, here it is. What you are listening to right now is the book I needed and didn't have. Maybe it's the book you needed and didn't have. Think of this as a user's guide to ADHD, full of insights, research, strategies, and validation. One that both explains and embraces how our brains work. You won't find definitive solutions for managing ADHD, but a menu of tools I've collected from the community, ADHD experts, lived experience, and research. You'll also find deep dives into why we even need these strategies, so you can choose the ones that fit your unique life and brain. The information and strategies I share in these chapters are meant to empower those with ADHD, enlighten and support the efforts of those who love someone with ADHD, and be helpful and insightful for anyone who is simply human. How to book. This book was written by and for ADHD brains. That said, ADHD brains often struggle to read books. We tend to get distracted or bored, forget what we just read, lose our place, or stare at the same wall of text for 5 minutes, unable to actually read it. For this reason, I was determined to write this book in a way that is ADHD-friendly. The paragraphs are short. I include many reading shortcuts throughout the book. I worked closely with my very patient editor to make the text as ADHD-friendly as possible for a book this jam-packed with information. I have included quotes from brains within the How to ADHD community. They share their personal experiences, including how they find ways to navigate around obstacles and how they work with their brains, in case you need ideas for how to apply any of these tools. Almost every chapter is divided into 4 sections. 1. The experience of. At the beginning of every chapter, I describe my lived experience of the topic of the chapter, which tends to be relatable to those with ADHD. Sometimes I get a little literary in these sections. I may use metaphors, hyperbole, or jokes to make them more fun to listen to, and, let's be honest, to read. If you don't enjoy this kind of thing, or if you prefer literal language to figurative language and just want to get to the facts, just fast forward through or skip the chapter introductions. These sections sometimes deal with emotionally heavy topics, especially the ones that begin the How to Feel, How to Heart, and How to People chapters. It was important to me to be honest about my experiences here, because the struggles we face in these areas can be profoundly painful. But feel free to step away or skip ahead if you need to. 2. What I learned. In this section, I share the information that helped me the most on my own journey, as well as the information that resonated most with my community. If you like the easy-to-understand science communication in my lecture-style videos, this part of the chapter is for you. I've compiled facts and insights from credible sources, such as peer-reviewed studies, books by ADHD coaches, doctors, and researchers, and conversations with experts in the field. That being said, there is so much more to know about each of these topics than I could possibly include in a single book, and there is new research being published all the time. If you're extra curious, please consider this information as a jumping-off point for more learning, and check out howtoadhdbook.com for more. 3. The toolbox. In each toolbox section, you'll find strategies that work with your ADHD brain rather than against it. The strategies I've included are research-backed, commonly recommended by ADHD coaches, and/or ones that have been helpful to my community and me. Each toolbox section has 4 or 5 main evidence-based strategies, tools, as well as a few ways each one can be used. It is important to note that none of these tools are magic wands that will painlessly eliminate the obstacles that those with ADHD face. Everyone has go-to tools that work more often for them, and a couple tools they only use occasionally. And we all have days when nothing seems to work. My hope for you is that by the end of this audiobook, you'll have a personal toolbox full of options. This, in my experience, is better than a toolbox with nothing but a sticky note that says, try harder. Even if you never use some of these tools, they're here for you when you need them. 4. The ending anecdote. After spending months and years studying a particular topic, my perspective on it often changes. The final section in each chapter shares this perspective shift. I include these stories to remind you and myself that there is no single way to look at any topic and that we can always learn something new. Not just new information, but new ways to view it. It's one of the awesome things about having a brain. Is book? Is book. So, here it is, How to ADHD, the book. This whole journey started as a personal project, an attempt to understand how to work with my brain more effectively. It quickly became a group project. My community jumped in to help me before I even thought to ask. I learned a lot of what I've written here from talking with brains, hearts, ADHD experts, and researchers. I call my viewers brains, hello brains, because it's their brains that brought them to my channel. Plus, they're here to learn about their brain. When people find their way to my channel because they love someone with ADHD and want to understand them better, I call those people hearts. Hello, hearts. Because their hearts are what led them there. In addition to what you may learn throughout this audiobook, I wrote a whole chapter for hearts. Over the years, we've shared long, deep discussions about what it means to have ADHD, about how being normal isn't a realistic goal, but being functional is. About how sometimes, paradoxically, being functional means behaving in less neurotypical ways so we can be more mentally healthy, happy, and generous humans for ourselves and for those we love. I offer all that I've learned back to you, the listener. I'm really proud of how this audiobook has turned out. Thank you for listening. Allow your brain to explore this audiobook however it wants. This book was written for your brain, and I hope your brain enjoys it. And if you are finding us for the first time here, hello, brain. Welcome to the community. A note on language. What I prioritize when it comes to language is accessibility. So many of us have run into issues of access to information about how our brains work, access to the supports we need, access to one another, and access even to ourselves and our own voices. There is language that decreases or denies access, which I do not use or allow in my community, language that attacks, shames, or silences. There is language that creates access. For example, disability gives us access to legal protections and accommodations. Impairments explains what we might need and where we might struggle. Research-based terms such as response inhibition, divergent thinking, and working memory give us and our healthcare providers access to information about our deficits and strengths relative to neurotypical brains, so we can access treatment tailored to our needs. colloquial language like doom spirals and brain.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?